flexibility and adaptability. We have it here. We have it here. Okay. This weekend, we start a new series, a sermon series, focusing on the words of Jesus, specifically Jesus, as is found in his words are found in the scriptures, in the Bible. Now, some Bibles print these words in red ink, and that will be the marker for us as we think through these things here. We can grow spiritually, I'm very confident, studying methods like this. I expect that we'll have a very good time in the Word of God in the next several weeks. But we can also gravitate to two unhealthy ways of approaching this. One is to simply discount the significance of this, discount the whole basic idea, and come at this this idea with a negative attitude. I don't really expect much of that. That could happen. The other extreme is this to assign to those words, those red words, something almost magical or more spiritual because it's in red ink. We could forget that all Scripture is given by God and inspired by God, and it's only logical when we see black and red ink together, we realize sometimes Jesus is in dialogue with somebody, and we need to have the black words so that we find out what the other person's saying. So, we'll not fall off the road on either side here. Now, to begin this new series, I'd like for us to look at Jesus' longest public discourse, and that would be the Sermon on the Mount, and that's what we'll be looking at today. Now, usually, we look at sections of scriptures, not as a clump, a huge clump of interaction that God gives us as a whole. So I would guess, I was going to take a show of hands here, who has ever heard a sermon that was basically nothing but the Sermon on the Mount and actually took it all in one shot? I know until I discovered this idea here, many years ago, actually, I had not done that, and I was embarrassed that I hadn't thought through that. It's sort of like the video feeds that we have. This what we're recording right now. What we've been recording for quite some time. Now I know when you're listening to one of our services, you're right by the computer and you're staring at it the whole time for the whole sermon. And if you get a text or a phone call or further, you have a need for a bathroom break, that's all beside the point because you're just going to stare and watch that sermon in its entirety, right? Yeah. Nature calls and got to deal with stuff, right? But think about now we laugh together, but think about how we kind of don't do justice to anyone's discussion if we can freeze frame it and walk away for a half hour and then come back and turn it on again. Now, I'm not knocking that. I am making fun of myself as much as any of us who would chuckle at that. So the video comparison is simply to remind us that it is quite special and quite helpful to look at something like the Sermon on the Mount and take it in its entirety. That's what we're going to try to do today. You prayed that the Lord's words would be my words, and they are. I'm pretty soon it's not going to be any of Bob. It's going to be the text here from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there are a couple things I want to mention here. I want some participation here. I hope we can do that. And so, for example, we get to chapter 6 in Matthew. There's the Lord's Prayer. And I would love for us to together say that prayer and pray that prayer. So when that comes, and it's going to be obvious when it comes, if you'd stand where you're at and We'll do the Lord's Prayer together. Now, the instructions, because there are lots of Bible versions. Let's stay King James. And further clarification, a lot of times people want to put transgressions instead of debts. It's debts in the King James. Let's stick with debts. And of course, that means that it's also the longer finish. Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. So that's the extra instructions for the Lord's Prayer. And then another participation thing is that twice I will pause. I will make it very clear that this is the verse. Two times we're going to stop and repeat those, all of us together, repeat those simple lines. They're famous lines. They're powerful lines. But that will enable your heart. You're going to participate in that. Your heart will be knit closer to that if you do that. Now, one more thing. A good sermon goes somewhere. It doesn't just beat the air. So let me share with you what I think Jesus' main point is, what his key point for the sermon. It's not just this. That's another reason I wanted to do this. It's not just this compilation of lots of famous verses that you've heard before, but it's a whole, and he has a direction. I would suggest, at least I've come to conclude, that it's found in chapter 7, almost at the end, and he says this. I'm telling you what to look for, in a sense. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I would suggest to you that Jesus is saying to us here, and that is like the main theme, the big idea here, that This is emphasized throughout other places as well. I think that's as clear as day. But the final story is the story of the builder upon the rock and the builder upon the sand. And I thought about us right now singing that children's song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." But that story emphasizes the narrow gate concept, the same kind of thing. You got a choice. Where are you going to build your life? And then we'll see, as we look especially at the earlier part of chapter 5, or middle part of chapter 5, that Jesus is saying many, many times, you have heard that it was said of old, but I say unto you. So again, he's laying out these two paths, and he's asking us to make a choice. So may we choose well. Well, the Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he did, he sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, unless or until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift to the altar, at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you've sworn. But I say to you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you can't make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist the one who's evil. But if anyone slaps you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet. Sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this. And would you stand and let's do the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may be seen by others, or not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's one of my verses that we'll repeat three times. Would you join me now? No. Number one, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Two, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Three, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Did you guess that? That's the next one here that you're going to repeat with me here. First repetition there. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Two. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Three. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you will use, it will be measured to you. Why do you seek or see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus had a sense of humor, didn't he? Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one that seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would we give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree can't bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And the great was the fall of it. That was the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. Lord, very familiar passage, all in one gulp. And my guess is that each one of us right now are deeply convicted by different sorts of things. Each one of us has our own struggles. And you speak love to us all, too, even though this is a hard word. And each of us responds as you would have us do that. My biggest burden, though, right now, is that, as we said at the very beginning, you lay before us a choice. And I pray that if there's someone here tonight who has not chosen you, has not chosen well, has not welcomed you into their life, that would happen very quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.